What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
60% of the time, it works every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
You'll learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio shows.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. So, Walt, you know who Walt is?
Walt, yes.
He just sent me, he's must be, I don't know where he found this stuff out. He found some Best Buy ads from back in, how long ago are these things? These things are, they got to be old. Just real quick, we'll get to Daniel in a minute. So here's
Super
a
8.
VHS-C camcorder, $6.99. Now get this, hang on, I got the best one yet. I got to scroll down here a little bit. We got the cellular Motorola brick phone free. Free. With service, Dan. You got to sign up. Now that is one heck of a deal
That's
there.
A great deal. Do you remember what the service cost back then?
Yeah, it was a fortune.
People think they pay a lot for cell phones now.
No, it's nothing.
Oh my gosh, remember roaming charges?
It's nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Free, but activation is required, Dan.
Yeah. That'll pay for the phone
right
there.
We'll go through a few more of these as the show goes on. This is awesome. These things are great. I mean, you think stuff's expensive. A 25-inch TV, $249.
Ouch. You can't even see the darn thing.
That is hilarious. All right, let's talk to Daniel real quick. Daniel Greenfield, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you?
We're doing very well. You're a Shulman Journalist Fellow at the Freedom Center. And we want to talk about diversity being our terror, and it's killing us. And you're right, it is.
Yeah, it's a very insane situation. We keep emphasizing the idea that we need a diversity of immigrants instead of people who can actually be absorbed, who can actually want to come here and be part of this country and fit in. And the result is the same as in Europe. It's terror, it's violence, it's chaos, and it's fear.
So how do we fix this, Daniel?
Well, we need a better immigration system. For one thing, the diversity-based immigration system that we have is ridiculous. It certainly doesn't meet America's needs. What we need is to actually do an evidence-based immigration setup where we actually look at the results for people from particular countries. We look at the terror rates, we look at the crime rates, and we say, do we need more people from this country? Do we need less people from this country? And that's the common sense way to do it.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, though, and you and I both know this is not the PC way of doing it, which, frankly, the PC needs to go out the window.
Well, the PC way is killing us. It's killing Europe. It's killing us. And the question is, do we want to be PC or do we want to survive?
My answer is we want to survive, thrive, and enjoy the lives that we have here in the U.S.
Exactly.
That's my take on it, Daniel. And you're right. We need to make some big, hardcore changes. It's going to take some real evaluation, self-evaluation, looking in the mirror and saying, listen, what are we going to do to fix this? And some of our politicians, I shouldn't say some, all of our politicians, Daniel, are going to have to ignore the PC crowd that is going to continue to drive this thing forward. Am I right?
Yeah, they're going to have to decide, do I want to answer to my constituents? Do I want to take care of my children? Or do I want the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN to like me?
And the reality is the latter doesn't matter.
It certainly does not, because those people exist in their own realm. They have their own plans for this country, and they're not good ones.
So in your investigative journalistic work that you've done, are you finding that – yeah, I mean, because – and I want to make sure I'm clear on this. There are some good immigrants that do come to this country, that do assimilate, that do add value to what we have going on here. What do you feel like that percentage of immigration is?
Well, we have to think about the immigration that formed a lot of this country at its best. And that was an immigration of people who were coming to aspire. They wanted to become Americans. They didn't want to just sit in their own little area and just do a multi-generational welfare in their own language and just create this bubble where they have no part of the United States except collecting tax money. I mean, quite a few of us are descendants of immigrants. People came in here, the Irish, the Italians, the Jews, the Germans. Quite a few Europeans came in here, and you know, you still have Asian immigrants coming in. They were coming in to work. They were coming in to make something of themselves. And we have a lot of people who are coming in just to sit on welfare, to get food stamps, to not do any work. And you know, we could just look at the statistics. If there's a group that's coming in and it has disproportionate welfare use generation after generation, maybe we shouldn't be taking in these people.
Great point.
Maybe we should be taking in the people who are producing the great businesses that are changing the country.
Great point. No, that's very well said. So really what you're saying is we could look at the data that we're already gathering, determine who's really productive, what countries are the most productive, and so on, and then cater our, you know, or change our immigration programs to fit that accordingly?
Absolutely. What we need to do is evidence-based, and you know, we have all the statistics, just as you said. It's easy enough to do this, and even some of the material exists out there. If the government actually decided to do this, it would have no trouble putting together a very clear and just fact-based approach to doing this.
I thoroughly agree, Daniel. This really, I don't want to sound egotistical at all, but this isn't rocket science. I mean, I'm not kidding, Daniel. You could make this a high school project for most, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, and pretty much figure this stuff out. It's not that complicated.
It's easy enough to do. The reason why they don't want to do it is because the Democrats get political benefits from bringing in certain kinds of immigrants, and those are in many cases the immigrants that are the most disruptive. Mm-hmm. And particularly, they actually make things worse. They want these immigrants to not assimilate. They want them to be kept out. They want them to feel persecuted. They want to create conflict between these groups and the rest of America because they benefit from that politically, and so their immigration policies are bringing us down.
No, you're exactly right. In your article, too, which, by the way, folks, is on Front Page Mag, Daniel Greenfield is with us, and you write in here that diversity is a strength of Islamic terrorists. Explain that real quick for people listening.
Well, right now we've actually gone back to an immigration situation where the majority of refugees are once again Christian. Under Obama, the majority were actually Muslim. And unlike our other qualifying groups that the left tries to pit against each other, Muslims have an innate sense of solidarity because they're members of one religion, whatever country they're coming from. So you can have Pakistanis and Egyptians and Palestinians and Somalis who are all functioning on the same wavelength. They're all engaging in terror plots because there's a larger sense of identity within that diversity. And we've lost that kind of sense of common identity. We're constantly debating what is America. We've got the anthem protests. We've got people burning flags. And on the Islamic side, they can actually unite within that diversity. We're having trouble doing that because of the left.
Yeah, no, very well said, Daniel. I can't disagree with anything you're saying. You're on target. Again, the article, folks, if you want to read it, frontpagemag.com, frontpagemag.com. Daniel Greenfield, diversity is our terror. There's a whole lot of diversity, and it's killing us. Daniel, good stuff. Keep up the great work. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it very much.
You know, he is absolutely spot on.
He's right.
Yeah.
Well, and you and I just continue to hound on this and hound on it and hound on it to the point where I feel like sometimes we're a broken record. But, yeah, I talked about this even yesterday, commercials. Now, different kind of diversity, but really not. I mean, in these commercials, you see, you got one of everything in a commercial. It's like, why? Just tell me the product and what it does, and do I need it? That's it. That's all I need. I don't care who puts –
John, no, you're missing the whole point, John.
What?
You see, you got to watch the commercial and then feel good. You got to feel good about America. You got to feel good about all the diversity in America.
I do.
And that everybody's gay.
But they're not.
Everybody is gay, John. Everybody, except for you.
Everybody. Everybody but me?
Everybody. As a matter of fact, 99.999% of America is now gay.
Got it.
And they just don't know it yet.
Oh, I see. They haven't decided
you may
yet.
Not know it. You may be gay, too.
No, I'm not gay. That's why Dan, I can tell you one thing. It's never, ever, ever, ever going to happen on this show. I will never come on this show and announce I'm gay. Not going to happen.
Well, that'll make two of us. But... So we're – and Charlie. Charlie, you're not gay.
I just don't think that's coming out of this show ever.
No, never. But, however, all the rest of America is
gay. Everybody's gay.
Everybody's gay.
All right, let's do this. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. Somebody else that's not gay is Michael Bailey.
Michael Bailey's not gay.
Now,
he's happy.
Not saying that if he was, it wouldn't be a problem and he wouldn't still be able to handle your estate planning, but he's not.
He's not.
He's a great guy. Didn't he?
Yeah, well, Michael's an awesome guy.
Awesome guy that understands estate planning as well.
Yeah.
Because we found out yesterday, not everybody does.
Not everybody does. And oh man, that could have been disastrous.
Not even everybody in the business does.
Right. Because they had an estate planner figure this thing out for them and did it wrong.
That's right. Mobile Estate Planning, Michael Bailey Law, 720-394-6887. Call him today, and when you do, tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
So, you haven't called Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner yet. But really, what's the worst that could happen today? Well, first, you could die without a will, and then your oldest child will start a fight with the rest of your family about what should happen with what you left behind. And then, because you didn't take a little time to make a plan, all of your assets get tied up in the probate court. And because the court case takes so long to be settled, all of your spouse's savings get used up on legal fees, and they're forced to move into that tent city on the outskirts of town because it's all they can afford. And your youngest child will have to join a secret military team as an undercover spy just to make ends meet. All while your oldest grows more resentful because they feel entitled to your assets, and they become a wild-eyed megalomaniac and end up building an elaborate slow-moving torture laser that they use on your youngest while monologuing about world domination. Now you get the point? All of this could happen because you didn't call Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, while you still had a chance. Call Michael Bailey at 720-394-6887 to avoid the worst that could happen. He'll come to you and get your will drafted today.
Group Insurance Analyst, Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984. Business, home, health, auto, Medicare, life, dental, and more. Compare and shop for all your insurance needs. Call today, 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out the demographics of America because the conversation we had over the break. So I'm coming up with like 95% of America is black.
According to the commercials I watch, they are.
It is.
Or it is, I should say.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No, it's got to be, because I watch TV.
Good for you. No, you don't. You don't even watch commercials. Charlie and I do. And I'm tired of seeing all the diversity in commercials. I'm being honest.
So when did this whole thing start, too, with politicians? Remember, nowadays, all the politicians always have all these people standing behind them. Never used to be. Used to always just be the flag or the blue
Well, because you have to be inclusive. Something.
But now, it's like this rainbow of people.
Of course. Because you have to include everybody.
Are there ever any white guys back there?
Well, typically not, but we just had a president elected because he actually catered to that white guy. Just saying. And folks, you can't deny that one. Because he did.
Oh, he did. In a big way.
He went after the angry white male who he knew he could get to vote for him and in turn would gather enough other people along the along the way that he'd win the election. And guess what? He won. Right?
He did. No question about it.
We've said that many times, which tells you that there's a lot more of us out there than he than
well,
he
I mean, whites in America only represent 76.9%.
Only 76.
That's only that is a small majority. And so therefore in TV commercials, this should only be like maybe even not even mentioned.
Maybe so. Should we go back to Walt's
ads? Yeah. So, okay. So now go back to the cell phone. How much was the service plan?
Well, hang on. I'm trying to figure out. I got to read the fine print. Hang on. It's a little hard because he's, he clipped these things out, took pictures of them, and then gave them to me. So hang on. It says offer applies to new customers only. $300 credit deposit with Best Buy is required. Add $300 to the price of the phone if purchased without carrier service or for non-qualifying service plans. Carrier requires a one-year minimum activation for which service charges will appear on first month's bill. Credit approval and possible carrier credit deposit will be required at the time of purchase. This baby was a full 6/10 of a watt of power and security features to prevent unauthorized use, Dan.
Yeah, it worked back then.
15 number memory.
Well, who needs more than 15 numbers?
15 number memory.
That was a lot of memory back then. Okay, back then, did you remember 15 phone numbers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whose?
I worked in a automotive store, we had to remember part numbers. I knew part numbers by memory.
No, phone numbers.
I knew those by number.
15.
I knew all my vendors' numbers by heart.
Yeah, come to think about it, I did too.
Yeah, I could rattle them off.
You can't today.
No, because I don't need to.
You don't have to. Nobody knows any.
Nobody knows a number today, hardly.
Except for their, you know, their King Supers card, which happens to be their phone number. Because nobody ever brings their stupid card.
Whoa. Time out. There's a 14.4 fax modem for $100.
Ooh.
A haze. 14.4 fax modem. $99.86.
When was this again?
Hang on. I was trying to see if Walt put the date on here. Let me see here. Bum-ba-da-dum. July 1994. What were you doing in July of 1994, by the way?
1994?
Yeah.
I got married in December of 94. I was flying airplanes.
Oh, you were?
Yep.
Got it. Okay, well, while you were flying that airplane, you could have bought the Acer 486 DX2 with 66 megahertz processor. This bad boy, let me tell you what, it had everything you needed. 420 megabyte hard drive, 4 meg of memory, 1 meg of video memory, 14-inch super VGA non-interlaced color monitor, double spin CD-ROM drive, 16-bit sound card and speakers, internal fax modem, preloaded software, and then CD-ROM also had software.
So how much was the two-wheeler?
The two-wheeler?
Yeah, that was to haul the monitor in.
Well, this whole gig was 1998.
Almost $2,000?
Yeah, so put that into your inflation.
And that's how much it weighed, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
2,000 pounds.
And by the way, there was a warranty that went with this for 4 years of $39. Had Windows or Microsoft Windows, Quicken, Prodigy, Microsoft Works, Golf, and the Encarta CD, the encyclopedia, all loaded up.
I have that encyclopedia.
Yeah, because you couldn't do anything online.
Because your computer weighed as much as all the encyclopedias.
Stacked together. I'm not joking. They were huge.
They were heavy.
Okay, so if you put that back into your equations you did the other day at 1998, because, you know, a really good, solid computer today, you can buy for half of that.
Yeah, you're $1,200.
So tell me tell me in the relation to your income and so on, what that computer fits into today versus then.
I don't know the 1994 income. I'd have to look that up. Because I was going off of 1967 income, which is nothing like
that. You can almost figure that with inflation and everything else, computers are like a fourth of what they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, you could have never afforded the computing power in this phone back then. First of all, you'd need a building to store it in.
That's right. Yeah, my new phone, I just got 256 gig of memory. This thing had 420 megabytes of memory. We thought that was a lot back then, by the way. That was almost half a gig.
That was a lot.
420.
Oh, back to your commercial thing?
Yeah.
We need to do more commercials with Native Hawaiians. Because Native Hawaiians represent 0.2% of the population.
Samoans?
And they're feeling left out.
They are?
I'm just telling you.
Okay, hang on. I got to find some other good ads here. I got the same one. The Encarta computer, 1998. Oh, there's a printer for $200. An Epson inkjet printer, $198.94. That bad boy, man, it would scoop out. You take 5 minutes to print a page.
That was fast.
Or longer.
Because it took me at least 7 to write out a page.
That's true, actually. Oh, but the Sony, or no, so sorry, Sanyo. VCR with the VCR Plus and the Universal Remote, $189.87.
Did you get the free VHS rewinder thing with it? Because you could get a set aside.
You kind of rewind. You want to wear that thing out.
She said, rewinding. Come on, I want to watch something. But no, you're rewinding. You can't watch anything.
That's what
the rewinders were awesome.
That's what they do. 31-inch TV, $587. You can now buy like a 60-inch for that. I'm not joking. You can buy a 60-incher.
You can buy a big TV.
You can buy a 4K 60-incher for like $599, same price.
So just think about that. Think how much more you're getting for your money today.
It's huge. People, in electronics especially. Well, we talked about even cars. It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge difference. And these ads that we're reading through, which I did not plan this for today, but these ads coming through just prove it. So you can get your complete Dolby ProLogic surround sound Bose system for $499.84.
That's pretty sweet.
And the boombox to go with it, $187.
Gotta have a boombox back then.
Yeah, you carry it on your shoulder.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Remember? You know what I really miss about TVs, though?
What?
Is that when you used to turn them off, you always got that white dot in the middle. It's the white dot. It's gone. Forever. There will never be a white dot in the middle of your TV ever again.
All I know is those stinking.
Remember how you
could
burn the image on your TV too? Like,
oh,
you
wouldn't want to use the same thing on forever. Yeah.
And it's like,
I know you want to do that because it was there for like ever.
I gotta look at that ugly face forever now.
But the best thing on here is that VHS-C camcorder for $700 that I now have built into my phone.
Yeah, and you don't have to mess with tapes.
No, all I do is hit video, record. And by the way, the quality is like second to none compared to what those things were.
You can't beat it. And try uploading that video.
Does anybody still own a video camera?
I do.
You do?
I've still got the kids' videos on there with Super 8. I got the Super 8 camera.
Really? Do you really have a video camera?
I don't use it. I've got to get to one of those restoration places where you can put the tapes in and change them.
I have a player for that.
Change them into DVD.
I have a player that will go from, let me think about this, I think from 8mm to VHS. And then I've got one that goes VHS to DVD.
Well, by the time we get done doing all that, who's on that film?
We might as well call it film
because it's going to look like the whole film.
It'll look like Rumpelstiltskin by the time we get there.
You know,
by the time we transfer everything around.
Put the lines
Dan,
in there
give
too.
Me that tape. Which one are we on now? I mean, think about that. You'd be like copying tapes forever.
Yeah, whose image is that?
Oh, I've got tons of those I need to copy over too. I mean, I got like a box of them.
But there's these places I'll put it right on the digital format. Any digital format you want.
Yeah.
So without having to go through the VHS
step. What's the cost, though?
I don't know, but I'm going to check it out because there's stuff, because you know that deteriorates. So over time, it's all going to disappear.
And I got cases of that stuff. I probably should do that. All right. Extreme
just
auto repair.
Invite me over to view them.
Don't worry, I won't. Okay. That's like miserable when you do that.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Things you do want to view is making sure that your car is in top running order. You want to drive with confidence. Extreme Auto Repair, 303-841-1071. Well,
Dennis fixed my 8-track tape player.
He probably can, actually.
Could he? Good.
Clean the heads. Very clean the heads. Get the Q-tip out.
I want to make sure that click, click.
That alcohol and the Q-tip.
And you got to have the Gotta have it.
They can do that at Extreme. Extreme Auto Repair, 303-841-1071. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Thanks to Extreme Auto Repair, I can stop stressing out about my car breaking down. I don't take very good care of my car because I don't know how. Most of the time, I drive around hoping that my car will still run tomorrow, as terrible as that sounds. When it's freezing cold outside, that fear gets a lot worse. Honestly, I just want to know that my car will work. I need someone I can trust to give me a professional opinion about whether or not my car will make it through the winter. Because I listened to KLZ, Dennis Brewster told me he would take a look at my car for free. He'll ask one of his techs to write a report with advice about what I should fix. Now I'll get a clear picture of what I need to accomplish so I can actually drive with confidence. You can be smarter than I was. Instead of vaguely fretting about whether your car will keep going all winter long, find out what your car needs now at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker.
Welcome to Save Our Soldiers, an ongoing feature from the Crawford family and Crawford Broadcasting to inform veterans about opportunities and assistance programs in their area.
MakeTheConnection.net, a nationwide online community, connects veterans, their families and friends, and other supporters with resources and solutions for addressing the issues veterans face every day. For veterans, when you experience PTSD or other mental trauma, you will find someone who can keep you grounded and reassure you that you are not alone. For families, when your spouse struggles with depression and substance abuse after returning to civilian life, you'll find the words to start a conversation about seeking treatment. For supporters, when you've been in their shoes and know that sharing your story will help, you can reach out to individuals who will benefit from hearing how you conquered your own challenges. All you have to do is make that connection at MakeTheConnection.net.
Brian Murphy of Front Range Mortgage joins KLZ in supporting, saluting, and applauding U.S. veterans. For links to anything you've heard on SOS, visit 560thesource.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Dan Muir, Cassie George just walked in. Oh, what have you been doing there, Cassie?
Have I been doing?
Yeah.
I've been working.
Working hard.
Yeah, we work.
Listening to you guys, though, which was really distracting.
Are you trying to say that's hard work to listen to us?
It's very hard work listening to us, Dan.
It's hard work to listen to you guys and do something else at the same time because I was laughing too hard.
We're entertaining.
Yes.
We try, don't
yeah.
we? All right, our next guest, Steve Gregg, joining us now. Steve, welcome to Rush to Reason, your host of The Narrow Path on our sister station, KLDC.
Hi.
How we doing, Steve?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Great. So first off, tell us about your show. What all do you guys do?
Well, it's just an open phone line for listeners for an hour each weekday afternoon where people can call in with questions they have about the Bible or about the Christian life or the Christian faith, or they can call in to disagree with me if they want to, and we welcome that.
We get that quite a bit on our show, so we understand that one. Only it's probably not for the same things they disagree with you on.
Maybe not, but it's enjoyable for me. I've been doing this show for 20 years.
Wow. Good for you. Good stuff. What got you started in it, Steve? What made you get into radio in the first place?
I started out actually as a substitute for another guy who had a daily show of a similar sort back in 1997, I guess it was. And no, actually, I started earlier than that. Around 1990, I started for him. And I was just a guest host on his program. Eventually, he wanted me on once a week so he could take a three-day weekend every week. So I started doing
I know that feeling. The only problem with that, Steve, is it's not me that does the three-day. It's my co-host.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed doing the show, and so I just took over the microphone for him once a week.
Got it.
For several years, then in 1997, I branched out and started my own daily show.
Got it. Very cool. Good stuff. Okay, so what's the most popular question you get?
And believe it or not, the questions I get the most are sometimes questions I don't think are very important ones. People always want to know mysterious stuff that the Bible's not very clear about, and that doesn't matter very much. My view is that the things that matter a lot are pretty clear in the Bible, and the things that aren't very clear are things that don't really matter very much. And a lot of times, because certain things are not clear, people are very curious about them. There's a passage in Genesis 6 about how the sons of God saw the daughters of men and went and married them and had children with them. And
Nephilim.
A lot of people. Yeah, the Nephilim come from that passage, and people always want to talk about that, want more information.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the question. Who are the Nephilim?
Well, that's just the point. We don't have any real information about that. It's translated giants,
right,
in most Bibles,
right?
But the word Nephilim in the Hebrew is only found two places, and that's one of the two. The other one is where the Israelite spies who had gone into Canaan,
right,
brought back
north. Saw them in the Promised Land, right?
Right, exactly. And we don't know anything about the Nephilim except that they're awfully big because the Israelites said, compared to them, we seem like grasshoppers.
Right.
I'm assuming they're talking about the difference in size.
Right.
But there are people who believe, and it's a very common belief, the Jews held this belief too, even before the time of Christ, that the sons of God were angels who ceased to be angelic and became fallen, and they came and married human women, and they believed the Nephilim were the offspring of those marriages. That's only one view.
And that's not mine, by the way.
It's not mine either.
I believe they came in DC-8s.
Really? And then started Scientology,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go. Got it.
There's a mothership.
Got it. Yeah. E.L. Hubbard or whoever he was, right?
L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard. There we go.
I suspect the Nephilim were simply genetic giants.
Agree.
There were other genetic giants, the Anakim and the,
right,
of course, Goliath.
And Steve, to that point, we have, you know, we have some of that today. I mean, we have a fitness trainer that comes on with us every Wednesday that I look at that guy and he's like, man, he's like a giant. The guy's like 6'7" and the guy's huge. And I mean,
huge.
I look at him and yeah, I feel like a grasshopper next to him.
Well, yeah. And Goliath in the Bible is said to be 9.5
Nine,
feet.
That's right. Nine
Could you
feet.
Imagine?
Big guy.
That's a big guy.
So that's pretty big, but it's not suggested that he was supernaturally conceived. You know,
he's just a big guy.
Giant. Yeah.
Yeah. No, fully. And Steve, I'm like you. I think there's just certain things that, frankly, you know, God didn't put in Scripture because at the end of the day, he's thinking to himself, you know, this stuff really doesn't matter. Let's focus on the stuff that does.
Yeah, that's right. I think so. And I think it's our I think it's a defect in us that we really want to know all the stuff that's just a matter of curiosity instead of the stuff that's practical.
Yeah, I agree. You know, for example, it's interesting. One of the biggest subjects all throughout Scripture is money, and yet it's one of the things that a lot of people, Christians included, struggle the most with.
Well, John, that's because money's evil.
But it's not.
Well,
and
yeah,
Scripture never says
I've
it's
been
evil.
To church.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. It's not evil. The love of money is evil, but money itself is not evil. Steve, agree or disagree?
Well, I agree with you. In fact, the actual statement in 1 Timothy 6 is that the love of money is the root
right.
of all kinds of evil. So that while the love of money no doubt is evil, he's talking about how the love of money has led to all kinds of evil. It's the root from which all kinds of evil grows. And I think what he's pointing out is that virtually every crime and every sin at one time or another has been committed by somebody who just wanted money. I mean, whether it's murder, hitmen, or whether it's adultery, prostitution, certainly theft, bearing false witness in court, all of those things have been done for the love of money. And I think that that's what he's suggesting.
Great point. Great point.
But money is not bad in itself. It is a temptation. Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I think the reason it's hard is not because because there's any fault in having money. It's just that when you have money, it tends to, grab your attention.
It can be a distraction, right?
It becomes something you can depend on instead of God.
Yeah, it can become a replacement, right?
Right. And in fact, Paul said that covetousness, which is love of money, in Ephesians 5:5, he said it's idolatry. So it kind of becomes a replacement for God himself.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, what's one of your other top questions?
Well, a lot of people want to know about the book of Revelation, of course. It seems like the end times are really on people's minds. Actually, frankly, questions about the end times and questions about the earliest times, creation. You know, today somebody on the air asked me if I believe in the gap theory, which has to do with a theory about the relationship of the first two verses of Genesis and the creation. It's not really something the Bible's clear about either. And people are all very fascinated with the old stuff so far removed in the past that it may not be relevant too much to our daily lives. And then, of course, stuff that's off in the future that may not be very relevant to our daily lives either in some respects. I mean, everything's relevant in a sense. Knowing where we came from is important and where we're going is important, but the details are not always as directly relevant to the way we live our lives as, for example, the Sermon on the Mount would be.
Got it. Do people get into, excuse me, on your show, and again, KLDC, our sister station, The Narrow Path, and I believe in our market here, Steve, you're on at, I want to say 3 o'clock. Does that sound right?
That's correct. I'm in California. It's 2 o'clock here, but since it's a live broadcast and there's a time zone difference, it's 3 o'clock.
Okay, yeah, 3 o'clock here. Okay, KLDC, and you can call in, ask questions, things along those lines. Do people get into the, you know, theological debates, you know, whether it be, you know, Wesleyan theory versus Calvinism versus on and on we go? Do they get much into that? Or are they asking more practical questions?
You know, there's a lot of questions about Calvinism and Arminianism and Wesleyanism, and we talk about those things too. The audience is such a broad spectrum. There's people who call me who don't even know what the Bible is about at all. I mean, there's a guy called me today. He referred to himself as sort of a newcomer, and from the questions he was asking, it seemed like he really had no knowledge of what the Bible teaches on any subject, but I was glad he called. Because, I mean, that's what I'm there for.
Right.
But also, I'll get very sophisticated callers, people who obviously have read a lot of theology and have waded deeply into the debates on different theological paradigms like Calvinism and Arminianism. And so we get the whole spectrum, especially since I probably get about 10 questions in an hour, usually, 10 or 12 sometimes. And I've been doing this every day for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've heard everything.
What about, I mean, I'm sure there's subjects that come up in regard to, you know, marriage, divorce, is it right to divorce, things like that. And there's no, I know there's no canned answer because every single circumstance is, is different. What do you do in those particular situations? Do you try to delve in and find out exactly what, you know, their circumstances are to try to give a little better answer, or how do you go through that?
I do. You know, the program isn't really a counseling program like some Christian programs are, but when people want to know whether they, you know, should get a divorce or not, that's obviously a major life decision, and I do not want to give them short shrift. So I do actually interview them a little bit. I ask, you know, what are the circumstances that are making them consider it, and what has their spouse done, and what
right.
have they done, and so forth. And then I try to apply the biblical principles. The principles are fairly simple, but the applications are very nuanced, I think. You know, I mean, it's a very simple principle. You made a promise to stay married till death. You should keep your promises. But then there's some exceptions, I think, in the Bible. And not very many of them, but they're very severe exceptions. Obviously, if the spouse is living in violation of the sexual faithfulness of the marriage, or maybe beating somebody up or endangering someone's life. I mean, there's very serious situations
right.
that definitely have to be regarded as possible exceptions to the general principle.
Before we go to break, real quick, what are your thoughts when it comes to, you know, our response as Christians to some of these, you know, sexual allegations that are coming out? And in some cases, they may be against, you know, Christian men and women. It could not be. What's our proper response in those particular situations?
I think that we should not be overly surprised, unfortunately, when there's scandals, especially when it's not Christians. But even Christians are many times not very careful about their Christian life, as they should be. And a lot of people would call themselves Christians who may not really know God either. So it's really hard to judge whether somebody who's fallen is really a Christian or not. If they really are, and they really have fallen severely, then I believe they'll repent and they'll be humbled by that. I mean, Christians do sin, and they have to be humble and admit that they've sinned and seek forgiveness of that from not only God, but from anyone else who they've offended by or hurt. But most of the allegations, of course, are from people that I don't suspect to be Christians in any description. And I just say, well, no surprise there. We live in an extremely sexually charged society, and people are sexually charged already without society encouraging that. And if somebody doesn't have Christ, in many cases, they don't have the resource necessary to resist the struggles of their libido. And they don't have the motivation to, in many cases. So it's not too shocking. I just think that all these sexual allegations that have come out have shown us exactly how promiscuous our society has become. And yet, that's not a surprise either. I've lived in our society for over 60 years, and you know, I noticed before. That's just that a lot of stuff is coming to light. I think, well, didn't everyone suspect that was going on anyway?
Well, you know, Steve... You know, you're right. I mean, human nature has not changed, and that's why we need God. That's why we need God in our life.
Right.
And there's nothing new under the sun. This stuff has been going on since the beginning of time.
Yep.
Well, that's so true. I mean, it's completely true. And, of course, those who have been in the ministry for a long time have heard many cases of ministers and Christians in good standing who have proven to be have feet of clay and have fallen scandalously. But then when you get outside the realm of Christians, I've ceased to expect very much in the way of sexual purity from those who don't profess to be Christians. I mean, they should be sexually pure, like everyone should be, but I just, you know, realistically, I haven't really come to expect much from them, politicians especially, and actors.
Yeah, no, very true. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Steve Gregg is with us again. It's The Narrow Path on KLDC, our sister station. He's on at 3 o'clock. U.S. Gold Coin is coming up next, though. And if you would like to stave off inflation, have a little bit of wealth insurance, we have got the ticket. It is U.S. gold coins. And as Dan always said, if you had that gold coin and you could buy something with it 20 years ago, the same gold coin buys the same thing. And in some cases, if it's that VCR, it could even be a better deal.
Yeah, it could be the whole TV now.
It'd be the whole shooting match. That's exactly right.
Flat screen TV.
That's right. USGoldCoins.com, 1-800-468-2646. Call them today and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
On September 13th of 2017, Congress decided to raise the national debt ceiling and issued almost $600 billion in bonds. This means every dollar in the world will be worth a little less, while everything else will be a little more expensive. It's called inflation, and there is very little we can do to stop it. This is scheduled to happen again in December. If the government can only make $600 billion last for 3 months, how are we supposed to expect them to keep our economy afloat forever? There is something you can do about the rising tide of inflation. Andy Goss from usgoldcoins.com wants to teach you how to protect yourself against inflation by collecting valuable gold and silver coins. That's why as a KLZ listener, Andy's offering to give you his 3 CDs, The Federal Reserve, The Definition of Money, and How to Protect Your Wealth, all for free. All you have to do is go to usgoldcoins.com or call 800-468-2646 and mention KLZ. Stem the tide of inflation and secure your future with real, authentic, and very valuable U.S. coins by calling Andy Goss at 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646 today.
As a sales representative for AAA Solar, you won't need any high-pressure gimmicks to sell your product. AAA Solar doesn't make outrageous claims about their solar panels. They just take a straightforward approach, and their customers appreciate their integrity. This is the perfect job for KLZ listeners who may be technically retired, but still want to earn some extra income. You can make as much as $50 per hour while setting your own work schedule. Call AAA Solar today at 303-975-4908 and ask about the job opening you heard on KLZ. 303-975-4908.
Are you buying your first home? Or are you right-sizing or downsizing for lower maintenance or a lock-and-leave lifestyle? This is Pamela Meyer of Denver Home Navigators with Keller Williams. I can help you discover and reach those goals. This is more than just real estate. It's about your life and your dreams. Call me today for your free consultation at 303-506-0106.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Dan Muir, Cassie George in with us now. Steve Gregg from The Narrow Path joining us. You can also find Steve online at thenarrowpath.com. Steve, welcome back. Appreciate you joining us. One last question I want to throw at you, and we should probably explain this. We don't hear much anymore about tithing, but I'm a guy that still believes in the tithing principle. I still think it's appropriate for today. I don't feel like when the New Testament got written and the church was formed that it went away. What do you feel about that, and is it still something for Christians?
I think that tithing was something that God used as a lesson about people's obligation to give. And I think 10% is not a bad number to start with, but I actually think that those who can should be giving more.
I agree.
I feel that by imposing the specifics of a 10% tithe, we may be letting a lot of people off the hook because, frankly, I've never given that little in my whole life. I've never given less than 20% of away because I can, and I'm not rich. I live in America.
Right. I agree.
So I don't know that the 10% is a rule that is reinforced in the New Testament, but certainly stewardship is, and giving to the poor and giving to support of the ministry. All those things are emphasized.
So what answer do you give somebody when they call in and say, should I be giving?
I say you should be giving according to your ability. And I think that that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, also to people that they should give as they can, and as their heart leads them to give. But I think that if someone's giving less than 10%, they're doing less than people did under the law. And I think that that's scandalous. And unless somebody's so dirt poor, of course, there are people like even in the Bible, the widow who gave her 2 mites.
Right.
She was giving 100%, Jesus said, not 10%. But I think there are people who are so poor that I could see that they could feel they can't afford to give 10%, and they may be the ones who should be supported by the tithes mm-hmm. of other people or by mm-hmm. the gifts of other people. But in general, I don't think there's anyone listening to us right now who can afford to have a radio who can't also afford to give something to the needs of the church and to the poor. And I think that 10% is a good base percentage. I don't think it exhausts our duty.
I agree, and I'm also a big believer in the local church. I think it has a definitive place. I know there's people out there that would disagree with me on that, Steve, but I have a love for the local church. I think it's something that the Lord himself established. I believe we need to continue to see the work go on in what we can do inside of a local church. Does that mean that we push off all of the work onto the pastors of the church? Of course not. We're all ministers in and of ourselves and how we do things, but I do believe in the local church, and the way you support that is through our tithes and offerings.
The church needs support. But the church needs to be good stewards of what's given as well.
Agree.
I think a lot of people have trouble giving to a church if they feel they see a lot of waste. But not all. I mean, some churches are very good stewards, and some are obviously more wasteful, as you can see from some of the really expensive churches and ministries that have far more luxury, that they provide in their building and things like that. And maybe some of the salaries of the pastors could be exorbitant too in some cases, but that's not usually the case. Most pastors are underpaid.
I agree. All right, we got a call coming in real quick. Ken and Berthet, you got a question for Steve. What is it?
Yeah, I was going to say, because this is my opinion, I just want to see if he concurs with this. You know, so it's really not an old covenant thing, tithing, because Abraham gave to Melchizedek, which was prior to the old covenant.
That's right.
And then the second thing, I ask Christians when they say they don't need to tithe, I say, well, look in Malachi. It says that if you give, God will take care of the strong man for you. And I say, is the strong man harming you? And when they say yes, and I say, well, you know, you ought to look at that verse. So what do you think about that verse
in
Malachi?
Yeah, good point. Good. Ken, I'll let you go with that. Good one, by the way. Appreciate that. Steve, how do you want to answer that?
Well, Malachi tells the people that they were robbing God.
Yep, test me. Test me in this.
And they were also experiencing crop failures and things like that. Mm-hmm. So God said, well, listen, if you bring in your tithes, you test me with this, you'll find that I'll open the windows of heaven for you, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake and so forth. So I believe that as we give to God, that he blesses. But there's not a one-to-one correspondence. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to give some money to God. Now I'm expecting a check in the mail from God.
No, it's called what's in your heart and why you're doing it, all those different things combined. Let's just say it this way, Steve. It's a complete package.
Yeah, well, it's all part of a relationship with God. And see, people are looking for a religion instead of a relationship. What do I have to do to meet the obligations of religion? Okay, do I give 10%? Okay, I'll do that. Well, what about if you're supposed to have a relationship with God, where God's saying, listen, I've blessed you a lot. Why don't you give 30%?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, no, I just want to know the bare minimum of the religion. You know,
right?
But in a relationship, take into consideration what God is saying.
That's right.
God is leading.
That's right. Great point, Steve. I appreciate it very much. Again, The Narrow Path. It's on KLDC, our sister station, every day at 3. Steve, thanks so much. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a fantastic evening. We appreciate it. We'll come right back. Front Range Mortgage is coming up next. If you've got a home that you need to do some fix-up work on, and you do not have the ability to do it, there's just not the funding there, but you want to do a refi. You know what? Front Range Mortgage can help you with that. They would love to take care of that for you. They can wrap all that into one mortgage. They can figure out a way to actually make those repairs, get your home up to speed, and wrap it all into that same mortgage. 303-500-1900 is the phone number. Call them now and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Brian Murphy here with another mortgage solution that may help you or a loved one. Many Colorado homeowners have recently been stopped from completing a refinance as their home is discovered to have items in need of repair. Most lenders will stop these loans from closing unless the homeowners pay thousands in home repairs out of their own pocket before they're allowed to close the loan. This is a terrible catch-22 as most people can't afford these home repairs until after the loan closes. We have a solution. At Front Range Mortgage, we have a rare mortgage program that can allow you to complete your refinance even if your home has no known items in need of repair, allowing you to complete these repairs after you close using the loan proceeds. If your home has items in need of repair, or if you've already been turned down by another lender, call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to get you closed your home as is and get you the money you need to repair and renovate your home. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com.
NMLS number 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Just got a reminder. I forgot.
Oh, no, what's that?
I got to turn on the dang Christmas lights.
Ah, dang it.
They're great Christmas lights, actually.
You
I shouldn't say
dang. You got to run home and do that then? Or?
No, I've got my app going right here.
Oh, you got an app for Christmas
I
lights?
I will go to Christmas lights on. There we go. Done.
Oh, wow.
Whoa! You can see it from
that.
Here.
Holy cow.
Wow. Awesome.
Man alive.
Actually, I probably can
what.
See it from here. No, just kidding.
You know it's going. I can see it.
Those babies are bright.
At first, we thought it was a present from North Korea, but it turns out it's just your Christmas lights.
Ooh, you know, maybe I should turn those down in case Kim Jong-un doesn't like Christmas lights.
He's targeting in on you.
He might zero in on me. Little bowl haircut thing he's got going on.
You and Griswold.
He sort of looks like a missile.
He does.
Doesn't he?
He looks like something. Do you know he's the only one in that country that's allowed to have that haircut? If you try to imitate that haircut, you will be, done away with.
So you can't be running around looking like Potsy.
Hey, what's wrong with Potsy?
What did Potsy used to say? He was kind of a Potts, wasn't he?
Because
there was, you know, there was
Potsy
Richie,
because
Richie was the
Ralph
Richie
the
was kind of the stud. Him and Ralph, you know, Ralph the Mouth was a Potts too.
Oh, he was.
And then Fonzie, he was cool.
Fonzie was really cool.
You know, here's the most disappointing thing though about Fonzie.
What's that?
I don't know about all the rest of you, but I was so disappointed in Henry Winkler after Fonzie because he's really not that manly man that you see on Fonzie.
No, he's not cool at all.
No, I was like, oh, this is disappointing. No. You just killed me. You just killed the whole Fonzie thing.
So go back into your cave.
Go back. I want Fonzie back.
Right.
I don't want the regular Howard Winkler, you know, Howard, whatever he is.
We don't want to see the real actor in public. We don't want to know anything about them. We just care about their characters.
Yeah, I want Fonzie to live.
Yeah, Fonzie's awesome.
Because like he in Waterboy was awful. He was the biggest weakling you could ever see. It was not Fonzie anywhere close to
Fonzie.
It. Yeah, it killed it. Anyways, this one over here has no idea what we're talking about, but whatever.
Some more really important don't. Trivia for you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got more going on. Another full hour coming your way. Don't go anywhere. John Rush, Cassie George, and Damn Muir. Charlie Grimes, your engineer. We'll be right back here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.